Today is Wednesday, the 6th of March, 2019. We are at a home in Palmerston North. This recording is for broadcast on Manawatū People's Radio and for storage in an archive. It may be made available for public use, and we are all happy with that. Today we have with us
Roz Putin,
Stuart Burks,
and I am Alison Milder. Now, we've just had a discussion and discovered that, in fact, we spent our early years in the same location, but 10 years apart in age. So it would be quite interesting, perhaps, to discuss the differences of experience between those years.
Well, I'm sure we did it. It would have been different because as we moved out to Kāranga when I was about, I don't think I was even two, because my mother had had rheumatic fever as a young woman, and when she had me, they found she had a bit of a heart problem, and you know, the cure was then get into the fresh air, apparently. So she actually had angina. So Dad moved us out to a board farm at the end of the Mackenzie settlement.
And what sort of year are we looking at
there? It must have been just before. It was only about one and a bit, because it was just before the war started, and that was in 1939.
And how long did you stay?
Stayed out there till I think I was nine, and then my father was found to have holes in his heart valves, and so he was told to get off the farm or he'd die in a paddock. So we come off the farm, but which I missed because it was a great life. And I remember, you know, my earliest the earliest childhood memory is when my younger brother was born. And he was born in, I would have been, it would be 44, end of 44, because I started school in 45, and I was six and, well, I would have been turned seven in the March. So I remember picking up the phone, every time the phone landline rang, I'd pick it up and say, "I've got a baby brother." My father told me this later, that he couldn't get to the phone quick enough because I'd be on it telling everyone, "I got a baby brother."
Had a baby.
I already had a brother and sister who were both deaf, hereditary deafness, and they went away to school in Sumner. Oh, for a while they went up to Tauranga while the war was on, but they were away most of the time, only home for the holidays.
So your father, would he have been what age in terms of the wars, one and two?
He was born in 1903. Mum was born in 1907.
So,
yes. He had bad eyesight and flat feet, apparently. Yeah. So he was not accepted in the army.
Yes, so too young for the first,
physically. But I remember him, I can remember him going out at night with his gun, and because it was the home guards. And I think from what I can remember, they used to meet at the Kāranga School Hall.
Yes, my father was in the Home Guard as well, so they would have known one another.
Yeah, they used to carry his gun for it, but he hid it somewhere because it wasn't something. He did let me shoot the gun once, and thank God he was behind me because it nearly broke his shoulder. But I was always at him. I want to shoot the gun, Dad, I want to shoot the gun. And so he stood behind me, held the gun up against me, and I pulled the trigger and shot it. So now you won't want to shoot the gun again, will you? Or something like that. And teach me a lesson, leave the gun alone. It's dangerous. But yeah, I remember that. And I remember my first day at school, because my uncle took me, Uncle Albert took me to school, I think it was.
And how did you get there?
On a horse, near a road pony, Rosie. She was lovely. She used to take me to school. And she even went to school once without me because I was sick, and someone rang up from the school and told them, Rosie's at school.
No. So she knew the route. All you had to do was get on her.
All I had to do was sit on her, and she'd go to school and get on her, sit on her, and she'd bring me home. Yeah.
So did you find quite a difference? Obviously, you experienced life in the country and in the town.
Totally different. So, because I, you know, there was, what, 2 dozen kids at Kairanga School? Because there was two classes. There was the little ones, me, and I think it went up to standard one or something, and then up to standard six, I think, was the headmaster took that.
Yes, I was going to say, do you remember who the headmaster was?
Mr. Pryor was in town. Oh. I've got photos at home of the school, school photos. But I know it was great fun because the older kids used to take us out the back and there was all these old desks and we'd play schools. At school.
Those were the ones where the seat was attached.
And the older kids would take us out and play schools with us. The little kids would make us sit there. And, you know, I learned to swim there because they had a swimming bath. So I don't know whether they've still got it.
No, unfortunately, it got filled in and now it's a car park.
Yeah.
Because so many schools lost their pools because of the regulations. Yeah.
Okay. And it's, my father was a great believer in swimming. You had to swim. You had to learn to swim, you know. And I remember years later, we used to go down to the river, Manawatu River. I wouldn't go there now, but you can come down to the river by yourself when you can prove you can swim across and swim back. Hmm. So you'd swim across with me and help me half of the way or something, you know. But and then you'd say, you go across, then walk upstream a bit, and then you swim back across for the current.
Yeah.
You know, it was used to be by the old, whether it's still there, the how high the river is, the gauge,
the marker.
Near
the bridge, near the bridge.
Yeah.
We used to think we were deprived if we didn't get at least 4 swims a day. 1 before school, 2 during school, 1 after school, and then a friend and I took to sneaking out the window late at night when my parents were in bed and her mother was in bed, and we'd go down to the school pool in Skinnida. Because it was fantastic.
Well, so we used to break into, we did break into West End School and swim. Yeah. This is later on when I was 13, 14, my girlfriend and I, there was a number of us. We did break into the central school.
No offence at the end,
But I spent a lot of my life as a young teenager. Yeah.
And did you have a bicycle?
Yes, in town.
Yeah. Oh, not at Kairanga?
I had a bike, but my pony was my main transport.
Yes.
But it was great life, and my father used to say, you never go back, because it's never the same. And I believe him now, because I decided to take my grandchildren, Tegan and Corbin, the twins, the ones that are 18 this year. They're asking about, you know, in the old days, they said. And I said, oh, we'll go out and I'll show you where I lived on the farm. So we get into Mackenzie Settlement, go down there, and this absolutely nothing, just paddocks, just grass. We had a big orchard, you know, there was a very large cow shed, a big barn, and there was wattle trees from the house, the driveway from the gate right down to the barn and the shed. The creek went along there. Everything's gone.
Yes, and other parts of the district, of course, it's filled up with houses.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. But what I liked about Kairanga School, we had the Father Christmas come. I don't know whether it happened when you were there.
It didn't,
yes. Yes, we all sat there excited in the hall waiting for the Father Christmas to turn up. And it was great, you know, and we had the
fancy dress ball,
the dance, what is it called?
Gay Gordons,
yes. And that, and all those things, and we were allowed to wear costumes,
yes,
dress up,
fancy dress balls,
yeah.
We had those.
Yeah, we had them in town too.
Yes.
But, yeah, and everyone knew everyone, you know, and it's unlike in town, you knew your neighbours. And we moved to Clawson Street when we came into town, and that was virtually a cul-de-sac, so we did know everyone on the street. And then it got opened up.
Yes, I think we found that the whole district was our territory.
Yes.
And so we would do things like climbing trees, so you would just move from place to place, from property to property, and friend to friend, and climb trees. And
I mean,
was this the environment where if you did something that you shouldn't have been doing, then the people there recognised you and found your parents?
Yes. You couldn't do anything wrong, because then, Mrs. Lyons would ring up and tell Dad referred to us the country gossip.
And you were trusted as well. So
yeah, you'd left your doors open.
On a Saturday morning, you'd go off. Your parents weren't concerned.
No.
All they expected was that you would come home sometime.
Hmm.
So if you used a horse, did you ever fall off or have accident, or you just walked slowly with the horse, or
you went I've fallen out of trees, out of horses, been kicked by cows, and I always remember the cow that kicked me across a shed. His name was Duchess, and I must have been about six or something. She kicked me right in the rear end, and I went and had it. Don't get behind that Duchess, she'll kick you. And I did, you know, and I got kicked. But, you know, Dad had draft horses. I love the horses. He used to always growl at me because I'd plant their fetlocks.
So he farmed with horses rather than tractors?
Never had a tractor, horses. And, you know, haymaking was one. I always thought, you know, Mum's great thing was she was a really good cook. She'd never seen the sea till she got on a ship to come to New Zealand with her family. And then she meets this boy that brought up in Canterbury, out of tin wool and out of Ashburton, on a farm when they moved over to Paiatua, just out of Paiatua, when he was a teenager. But, you know, he takes this woman that worked in a factory, woolen mills. She worked in Mountain Woolen Mills when she came here, and took her out onto a farm, you know, didn't know one end of a cow from another. But, you know, everyone got together when your haymate, because everything was done manually, you know. I used to love taking the horse back and forwards, and the grab would pick up the hay and stick it on top of the stack, and it was all hand done.
So you'd be helping as well when you were 8-9 years old?
If you were home, if you were schooled most of the time. But, you know, it was a great life. And even during the war, we were fairly well off, because we made our own butter, which I hated doing the churn. It's nice for everyone. I've got rheumatoid arthritis. And then I like the patty things and making little rolly things, you know, and it was always quite salty, the butter.
Yes.
But we used to get our thin leaf butter from the Kairanga dairy company. It was called fern leaf butter. And,
milk would go down and you get some butter sent back?
You get butter back.
So you had cows?
Cows, yeah.
And so did the milk go in those cans down to the station on the corner of...
No, we took them out. They were taken out and put on the cream.
Yes.
All the cream, it was all cream. And we had pigs, so all the...
Went
to the pigs. I love pigs.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know. There's something about pigs that
they're
I really
so
like.
Intelligent. And
they are intelligent. And they, you know, people say they're dirty, right? They like rolling in mud.
Yes.
But they usually poop and do things in a way from their, they don't, you know, poop in their own space sort of stuff. And I remember they thought I was missing once and I'd fallen in the creek because my gumboots were by the creek. I don't remember this, but my father told me later. And so people were out searching along the creek and he told my mother to go and feed the pigs because the pigs were due to be fed. And I was asleep with the sow. Why? Because the sow looked sick and wanted company, apparently.
I think they have huge intelligence.
Yeah, they're not as silly as they look. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, we... and we had the army on the... excuse me. On the Cayman, because... I presumably the engineers, because they were putting bridges across the creek, because we had quite a big creek on our property. So they, I didn't actually see it, because I think, I don't know where I was, but Dad told us about it. The bull paddock was sort of over from the house. and we had an outhouse, you didn't have a toilet inside. So we used to go out and we looked out on it, went to the sort of trees and bush there. You went out and looked out onto the bull paddock. Sometimes the bulls would stand and sort of look at me and I'd yak away to the bulls.
So the house had a outside.
Yeah, it had a long drop.
Yeah,
long drop.
Which I presume Dad put lime in because it was, you know, but if, and he papered it every so often with the the middle of Auckland Weekly. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do indeed. Pink my grandparents had every single issue.
Had all the shiny paper in the middle. Well, the shiny paper got taken out and Dad would, because we used to go through the cracks, you know, in the outhouse.
Oh, you'd run your finger through the cracks and tear the paper.
He'd repaper it, and he said the most part of it was only the layers of paper that was on there that held the thing up. And the rest was all cut up and into squares, and you wiped your backside on them.
Hmm.
We put a sack needle and some string. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think that's, I remember, you know, that was something that... I think my husband's auntie, when I went to see her in Tapas Pub, up in the Waikato, we went to her house and she was really upset about something. And I said to my husband, what's wrong with Auntie Daisy? And he said, oh, she's worried because she's got an outhouse. And I said, oh, just tell her I was brought up on a farm and we had an outhouse too. And she, you know, after that she chatted away to me and we talked about my childhood. But yeah, the outhouse was, But then these army guys, they were told not to go into the paddock next door because they were in the home paddock. And they had tents and that up, and they were building this thing across, barge Great. Thing.
Was that a sort of training?
Yeah, exercise? They were training.
Okay.
And apparently, I remember this, I presume he was the captain or whatever, used to come for dinner at night, because this man in uniform used to come and sit there and have dinner with us at night. But Dad said, one day he said, don't go through that paddock, because it's a bull paddock, and there was a young bull and an old bull, and because if the old bull got upset, the young bull would follow him along and do exactly what he was doing. And he said, next thing you heard, this uproar, and there's the bulls tearing down, they were right up the other end, and these guys decided, oh, well, the bull's up there, we'll just go across on our bellies, you know, doing this exercise. And what they didn't know was on the other side of the fence, on the other side, was a 6-foot drain full of water. So most of them ended up in the drain wet.
Oh, I mean, they were running away from the bull. They jumped.
They were doing this, you know, crawling across the ground.
Oh,
with
their training exercise.
Yeah, it was part of their training exercise. They could have picked any other paddock, but they went in the paddock they were told not to go into. Mm. And they said, he needed the camera to take photos of him, but he didn't have it, so these days you pick up a pocket and take your photos, but he said it was the funniest sight he'd ever seen. But
so,
it was interesting.
Yes. Yeah. So when you moved back into town, did you maintain links with
the Sharons and the Lions? I think my father and mother, and they used to visit, and we used to visit them. It was a shock coming into town, because we used to come into the central school dentist.
The murder house.
Murder house, yes. And because you used to look out there and see all these kids running around, and then, you know, you get there and you're in a class as big as the school you just come from. And it was a bit daunting and that, but I did miss the farm life, you know. There was, mind you, where we lived, where we moved to, Clawson Street, all from Clawson, Wood Street went along to the end. The railway wasn't there. We used to go across the paddocks, and Harrison's owned the paddocks. We used to go and get our milk from them, go across the little...
the plant people.
Harrison's, they were farmers.
Oh, this is at Kairanga?
In town. And then they sold up, and then they started building, and now you wouldn't even know that it was...
And there was a farm.
Yeah.
Now so your family was on a farm for about, say, 10 years or so, maybe a bit
later. About eight years.
So was that fairly normal? I have the impression farming families, you got a farm and it's two or three generations on the same piece of land. Was there actually much turnover? Mm. People move onto a farm for a while and then move elsewhere?
I think people owned their farms in those days, and you know, this I think it was about 45-50 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know.
And most would stay on the farm, and they'd have a farm, and it would be, you know,
unless the bigger farms, the Burmisters and that, they had bigger farms than we did. They may have. Family may have taken up there, but none of my family would have. Maybe I would have, but not at that age.
And there was a difference too between dairying and sheep farming?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Quite. Yes, because backing onto us was the I can't remember their names. They were on, I think they were on Greens Road, but they had a big sheep farm. But their farm backed onto part of our farm, so when we wanted Dad, I suppose it was all the time, Dad would get sheep from him to kill, and he would get, they would get half a pig.
The size
of... And that's how the meat and that was, you know, especially during the war.
If you can remember, how many cows would you have had?
It must have been about 40.
Yes.
Yeah. It wasn't a big herd, but, you know, they survived in that.
I think...
And I think going through, they both had been through First World War, through depressions and that, and I think that's where, you know, I got my, people might say I'm stingy, but I'm not really, but I know how to save. You know, and it really brasses me off when people, you know, say, oh, it's all right for you. I said, I work for my money.
Yes.
I said, we started from nothing. And that, you know, I work for my money. And I encourage my kids, they never got anything unless they earned half of it. So my kids work for Walding's Catering and at the shows and did a whole lot of things so they could have certain things.
So you think they've got the same values and your grandchildren have the same values? Because there's been such a change.
The grandchildren now give me. You know, my granddaughter, she texts me and, on the computer.
Oh, email.
Not email, wasn't
it? Skype.
Texting? Facebook.
Whatever it's called. Which it comes only to me, no one else sees it.
Yeah,
and,
Messenger.
It said, will you sponsor me? And I sent back, ring me, please. And then my son rings last night and he said, oh, Tegan said, did you want me to ring you? And I said, no, I told her to ring me. And he said, oh. I said, well, she wants money, wants me to sponsor her. I said, she has to ask me face to face, not texting me. She's got to learn, she's got to ask for these things. And where money's concerned, she has to ask me if I'll sponsor her, not send me little notes, will you sponsor me? I want to know the where's and where's and what's, I know what she's doing. She's doing the relay
for life.
Her and her brother are both doing it. And, but I thought, you know, last time they walked in the house, I took their phones off them. Said, right, we're having a conversation. Because they come in, they sit there, they log on to my Wi-Fi and
do everything.
But surely, how can they have a conversation if they can't look up any queries on the phone? Why?
Well, no, that's handy when there's something I want to know. And it's, oh, we'll just look it up. I said, oh, fine, what's it say? But yes, I think
it is different.
My older grandchildren who are in their 30s, they're more similar.
Yeah.
But the younger ones are, you know.
Yeah, the technology's had a big effect.
I need money for so-and-so. Yeah. Give it. Gimme.
Okay.
Yeah, sort of stuff. And I sometimes get annoyed with that, you know. Mm. And I think, no, she's going to have to ask me personally, not just send me a note.
Yes, when I was at primary school, we had two dresses for school. That's all we had, two dresses, a best dress for going out, and shorts or rompers for mucking about. And your wardrobe was probably half a dozen items at max.
Well, mine was my sister's.
Right, hand-me-downs.
Hand-me-downs. Well, I can understand now because they had to, there was no help for sending him to a school for deaf.
And
they had to pay, and they had two children to go to school for deaf in Sumner.
Yeah.
So they had to pay for all that. And so I, even my knickers were, and my first dress that brand new Reg's mother made me. And I always remember it, she actually made me two. One was blue, and she was a very good smocker. and she smocked on the little smock on the blue one, and that was just plain blue, and that they were both for best. And the other one was a sort of a creamy one with little red roses, I think it had on, little wee flowers, and it was smocked all the way down to here and tied at the back. So they were my first clothes that were mine and no one else had worn.
And your mother did the sewing?
Auntie Anne did. Mum knitted.
Uh-huh.
She taught me to knit and I used to knit too. But I gave up knitting. People put it in the washing machine.
Well, you're just about at time, but what is smocking?
Oh, it's like fancy work on... but they gather it all up.
So you're gathering the material. Is it then stretchy or
no,
it's just
no,
gathered?
No, it's just gathered. Some sort it's all of... gathered and there's sort of lines of cotton, different coloured cottons in it.
Okay.
And Reg's mother was very good at that.
It's pleated and then you sew over it.
Yeah.
So the sewing
so you get
keeps
it. It's all sort of done, you know, gathered up. Well, you can do it. Like that.
I can't see this on a recording.
No, sorry about that. It's gathered up and then sewn over. Yeah, but it was all done.
But you
by
don't see that these days, do you?
They do it on machines now.
Yeah.
In those days, it was
all done by hand. Okay.
So I think we're just about out of time.
Out of time.
Thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Very good.